Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:22 Pacific PM, and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today is February 9th. And today it really was all about the Trump reflation trade, where we see that he had a meeting with the airlines and promised them new infrastructure and lighter regulation, which is very much the theme that has helped to stoke interest in the stock market since early November. And it is very much in line with the whole promise that there will be a fiscal stimulus, deregulation, and most particularly that there could even be a reform of what is a Byzantine tax code in the USA. And not just a reform of the tax code, but even perhaps lower corporate taxes. So that has helped to propel the S&P 500 to a new all-time high. It is breaking up out of this very inert environment that we've had for the last couple of months, and now we are at a new all-time high. So that is a resumption of this medium-term advance, and we can see very clearly on the just the one-year chart that there are three ranges, one above another, and that this is a very clear example of a staircase step sequence uptrend. And that kind of uptrend is very easy to analyze, because we can see that there is one step above another, that when you do have an occasional pullback, it finds support in the region of the trend mean, and that is where both traders and investors would anticipate that there would be support coming back in, and they initiate long positions in the region of the trend mean. And if that is the primary consistency characteristic, then we can anticipate that it would require a sustained move below the trend mean to begin to even question that we are in a supply-dominated environment beyond any kind of potential there is for a short-term pullback as a somewhat wider overextension relative to the trend mean increases. The Nasdaq is leading on the upside, and it broke to a new all-time high on Monday. It is somewhat overbought relative to the trend mean at present. This is certainly not the first time it has been this overextended, and it is clearing the 5,000 level for the first time in an awfully long time. And the last time it had come anywhere close, and it probably is worth looking at that on a candle chart, because there is a very long-term pop. And I'll have to move the legend out of the way. You see that it got almost all the way up to 5,000 in 1999, wasn't able to quite get it. It consolidated in the region of that previous peak for nearly 2 years, and now is pushing on the upside. This is new blue sky territory, and this is an emphatic breakout. So above a key psychological level, it would be rather rash to anticipate that there is going to be an imminent pullback, but nonetheless it would require a clear downward dynamic, and it would is something in the order of what we saw 3 months ago, something that we saw, for example, right in here in the middle of November. That was a clear downward dynamic, and it held up the index for about a month. Something similar to that would be required to check momentum at this stage. The transportation index has not yet broken out. It is still range-bound. The Russell 2000 index is also still range-bound. It has not yet broken out. But with the S&P 500, the Nasdaq, and the Dow Jones breaking to new all-time highs, it would appear to be only a matter of time before we see some of those other indices also breaking on the upside. And perhaps this is the most important characteristic. We haven't been able to talk about the Wall Street leash effect for what feels like a very long time, despite the fact that we have all of these additional concerns with regard to Europe. The fact that the 2 year in Greece has surmounted the 10% level, the fact that the IMF's bailout package for Greece expired on the 31st of December, and that they are, if they don't get an additional bailout, they'll run out of money by July. That is a potential source of concern, but it is something that stock market investors are willing to look beyond for the short term because of the Wall Street leash effect. That if the US is doing better, if there is the potential for the largest economy in the world to start firing on all cylinders from a growth perspective, regardless of whether that is in the short term because of fiscal stimulus or because of a change in the underlying bias of the economy, the market really doesn't really care about that in the short term. Those are medium term considerations, and that is likely to be positive for stock markets generally. So European stock markets were a little bit firmer in here today. It does suggest that this consolidation is likely to be limited to just that, a consolidation following an emphatic breakout. There are some interesting develops occurring in China. The stock market index, has been pretty steady. It has been rallying since, and it was closed last week for the New Year holiday, and has been rallying since. And this is very much in line with this orderly, gradual advance that we've had for the last 18 months. We are getting some conflicting signals from the two different listings of the renminbi. The offshore renminbi was weaker today. It has certainly steadied in the region of 6.8, and we can see that there is definitely resistance around that level. It represents and more or less the region of the 200-day moving average. The onshore renminbi looks a little bit different. It was a little bit strong. Well, it was stronger yesterday, and it was pretty much unchanged today. And the disparity between the two has closed quite considerably over the last few months. That, excuse me, the last few weeks. The onshore renminbi still has some work to do before it has fully unwound that overextension. Despite the fact that the U.S. administration is likely to put additional pressure on the Chinese to strengthen their currency, there is no getting around the fact that that really is a story that was perhaps more relevant in 2008 through 10. China needs a weaker currency, and that is something that we can see ample evidence of on that renminbi chart since 2014. But the other point, of course, is that the Wall Street leash effect does not just apply to Europe. It applies to just about all of Asia, and perhaps most particularly to Japan. Japan is a major exporter to the US, and when Abe meets Trump, then he will also be very keen to highlight the investment that Japan makes in the USA, not least Panasonic in Tesla's Gigafactory. The Nikkei was pretty much unchanged today, but it will probably be up tomorrow because the yen was a little bit weaker, and that is from the region of the trend mean. That we have had a pretty orderly reversion back to the mean. It is a natural area where the dollar would begin to find support, and when we look at the euro today was also a little bit weaker. It has not yet broken that progression of higher reaction lows, but the dollar index is what I think a lot of people will continue to look at. It is still in the region of 100. It is firming from that level, and this is almost a perfect example of one of the questions we ask at the very beginning of the chart seminar, and it is that past support can become future resistance, past resistance can become future support. Is it reasonable that when something has broken out in an emphatic manner, that it can come back and test the upper side of the underlying range? And the answer is absolutely it can. And it is in fact bouncing from the region of the trend mean. It would really require a sustained move below the trend mean to question the medium-term case for dollar dominance. And it does have a clear fundamental case behind it in that the US is raising rates, and just about nowhere else has moved that far along the curve yet to be able to do that. And because the dollar was a little bit firmer today, gold prices have been a little bit softer. Gold prices are testing that $1,250 area. They're right in the region of the 200-day moving average. This is where we get the big questions asked. To what extent is gold going to be able to hold this rally? Platinum prices are still above $1,000, but what we have had is incremental moves. So there hasn't been, when we look at the shorter term or the daily charts, we're not presented with very clear upward dynamics. There was a big upward dynamic at the beginning of January, and we haven't seen anything of the same magnitude since then. And that leaves the market susceptible to a bear raid, that we could get some back and forth trading if the dollar continues to rally from here. I think it is also worth keeping an eye on oil, because oil is another instrument that has been confined to a really quite inert environment, and it is particularly inert for a commodity that is characterized by its volatility. But over the last 2 days, oil has bounced from the lower side of its range, but again, not in a dynamic fashion. In fact, it has bounced in a more dynamic fashion on previous occasions, with even within this range. And that isn't going to be enough to convince anyone really that demand is returning to dominance in an emphatic fashion. If and there and because we are in this range, we can also consider that there is this war going on between supply and demand. It is still possible to make an argument that OPEC's cutting of supply is working. It is also possible to make an argument that the resumption of drilling in the unconventional oil fields of the USA is countermanding that cut in OPEC. And both of those are, it's possible to make that argument equally well, and they're competing arguments, and that is exactly why we have this range. Eventually, it is going to be resolved one way or the other, and then we are going to see one of those arguments take preeminence. But the medium-term picture, and it is something that I've written about today, is that it takes 5.3, 5.4 years for the energy density of batteries to double. And we can think about that in the short term and think, wow, batteries don't really improve very quickly. The energy density of batteries is not following a Moore's law trajectory, that it is quite a bit slower. But when you roll that out to very long-term projections, and if it halves, if the energy density doubles in 5 years, then the size of the battery halves. If the size of the battery halves, you can put twice as many of them in. So in 30 years, it gets 64 times more energy dense because of that doubling. That is an exponential move. It's just over a longer period of time. And if we start rolling out our anticipation for what technology can deliver upon, then we have a very clear reason for why Saudi Arabia might be thinking about IPOing. They are really looking at trying to gather as much money together now as possible and investing it in technology, because they're not looking at the next 10 years. They're not looking at the next 20 years. They're looking at the next 50 years. What are they going to do with their country in 50 years' time, when the global population is trending lower, where the energy intensity of the global economy will have increased, but that it might not be for in a fashion that will create significant additional demand for the only resource that they really have? And that is a very big question for Saudi Arabia. And moving on, US government bond yields today bounced from the lower side of their range. And this remains a pretty orderly range, and not least following an explosive breakout in following the election. This is quite similar to the ranging environment, although not as volatile, that we saw in 2013. This is also a different environment because interest rates are rising and they were not rising in 2013. If yields push up out of this range, then that will be a very clear difference. But more importantly, from the medium-term perspective, it is the extent to which they can continue to hold this breakout, and more importantly, their ability to find support in the region of the trend mean when they do stage the next important rally. In the short term, this was a pretty impressive move from the lower side of the range, and there is additional potential for yields to push back up towards 2.5%. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I will wish all the best to all of you. I should mention that I have been talking to, excuse me, I will not end right now. I have been talking to David. I forgot to mention it yesterday. He has turned the corner and he is in much better spirits. They are holding on to him until his viral infection has completely cleared, and but he does anticipate getting back to comment of the day and the service as quickly as he can. He thanks everybody for their well wishes of good health and all the goodwill that he has received. So, and with that, I will leave you for today.